Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, this is Paul Chappell, and I want to introduce you to Striving Together Publications, the publications ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. Our desire is to strive together for the faith of the gospel with you and other like-minded Christians as we provide sound biblical resources for your spiritual growth. At strivingtogether.com, you will find a growing collection of outstanding books, Sunday school curriculum for all ages, conservative Christian music, outreach and discipleship resources, and many other tools for your personal and spiritual growth. You'll also find a variety of tools for your local church ministry. Be sure to visit strivingtogether.com and let us know how we can help you and your church grow in God's grace.
There's a lot changing in our world. Today, with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy and understand the times better. Stay with us. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's easy to watch the evening news, even as a Christian, and begin to fear and wonder and question. But when we take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy, we're reminded once again of God's power, God's sovereignty, and we're reminded that we can live with confidence and trust in God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We are airing a new series entitled Times Are Changing. We did listen to this series earlier this year, but we're re-airing it because it was very well received and because Pastor Chappell has a new book that's a companion to this series. The series is entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to carefully study Bible prophecy, and especially in light of current events and the things that are changing in our world. And the companion book that comes along with this series is entitled Understanding the Times. I'll tell you more about it after today's program. But first, turn with us to Revelation chapter 6 through 9, chapter 16, and also Matthew 24 today as we study a heavy topic, a difficult topic, but one that's needful when looking at Bible prophecy, and that is the Great Tribulation. Here's Paul Chappell.
These were the saints of the tribulation period. Verse 14, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so, some good news before we get into some of the judgments, that there will be witnesses preaching that Jesus Christ is Messiah. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Bible speaks about the two witnesses. We hear of the 144,000 and then the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. And these witnesses have a ministry as well. And this ministry will take place in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. These two witnesses are going to be mighty powerful men of God proclaiming the truth of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. A few things about them. God will give them their power, and also they will prophesy for 1260 days, the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. The two witnesses, some believe, are Moses and Elijah because of the miraculous works that they have done. But we know that they will stand in God's power and proclaim God's truth. They will do various miracles as well. They will turn waters into blood, according to Revelation 11. They can call down plagues upon the earth. Their work ultimately will end by the beast killing them and the world celebrating their death. According to verses 8 through 10, the world will rejoice when those prophets are removed out of the way. But we bring these to your attention because of the question, can people be saved during the tribulation? And there will be witnesses going forth concerning the gospel of Christ, and there will be people saved. So we see the removal of the saints, that's the rapture, and then the rise of the Antichrist, but also there will be the rising up of witnesses proclaiming the truth of God. Now let's notice letter D, the retribution of God's judgment. Because when we think of the tribulation, we think of the judgment of God upon the earth. And as I said at the beginning, we're just kind of overviewing the characteristics of tribulation. But if you want to sum it up in one word, it will be judgment upon the earth for 7 years. And so let's think of it. Now, the specific judgments that are poured out are mentioned in the book of the Revelation, and they're mentioned in this manner. First, the seven seal judgments. Second, the seven trumpet judgments. And third, the seven vial judgments. The seven seals in chapter 6, the seven trumpets in chapters 8 through 11, and the seven vials or bowl judgments are found in chapter 16. And all of these refer to the tribulation period. And all of these judgments can fall into three categories. And I want to share those with you this morning as we think about the matter of God's retribution and judgment. Number one, I want you to notice that there will be life-ending judgments on the earth. There will be judgments that come from God that end life on earth. There will be wars. Matthew 24, 6 speaks of them. And there will be much life lost in these wars. There will be famine. The Bible speaks of the famine in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, "When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." Some of you have seen perhaps paintings of this. This black horse and he that sits on him with the balance representing who will get food and how much. And Charles Ryrie says of this vision, "The black horse forebodes death, and the pair of balances bespeaks a careful rationing of food. Normally a penny, a day's wages in Palestine would bring about 8 measures of wheat or 24 of barley. But under the famine conditions, the same wage will give about 1 measure of wheat or 3 measures of barley." And so there will be a time of war, a time of great famine. Thirdly, the Bible mentions pestilences. And the word pest speaks of the plagues that will come upon the earth. And there will be plagues and diseases during this time. And the world has already seen much in the way of plagues and diseases. I think of the bubonic plague in Europe that took the 1/3 of Europe's population. And so it's not unprecedented or unthinkable when the Bible speaks about these massive plagues. We think of the AIDS epidemic in Africa and 4 out of 10 in South Africa who are infected with AIDS even now. And we sense and understand that there will be a great increase of these types of things. And we hear about some things now, the SARS breakout and the so-called viruses, super viruses, they refer to them many times as such. But the fact of the matter is that about 1/4 of the world's population is going to die during this 7-year period. In fact, Revelation 6:8 speaks of this. It says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth." And so there will be life-ending judgments on the earth during the tribulation for all who did not believe and who are left behind. Secondly, there will be environmentally devastating judgments. Those who worship Mother Earth, the goddess Gaia, as the New Agers call it, those that we sometimes affectionately refer to as tree huggers, are going to be very disappointed during the 7-year period because nature is going to be destroyed and devastated in many, many ways. And Matthew 24, Jesus spoke of the earthquakes in diverse places. And these, he said, are the beginning of sorrows. And so let's notice, first of all, earthquakes are spoken of during this final day or final week, rather, of judgment. This past week, Science Daily magazine recorded an interesting article, and it said, and I quote, "U.S. seismologists have found evidence that a massive 2004 earthquake that triggered killer tsunamis throughout the Indian Ocean weakened at least a portion of California's famed San Andreas Fault. The results, which appear this week in the journal Nature, suggest that the Earth's largest earthquakes can weaken fault zones worldwide and may trigger periods of increased global seismic activity." Now, God doesn't need the weakening of various seismic regions to bring on an earthquake. How many of you believe He can speak and one can happen, right? But the fact of the matter is that the old world is shaking, the faults are weakening, and God's word predicts that in the tribulation there will be great, great earthquakes. Secondly, there will be fires. There will be, in verse number 8, speaks of a giant meteorite that will come and will hit into the Mediterranean Sea, destroying one-third of the sea life and creating a great tidal wave. The Bible speaks, fourthly, of water contamination. Revelation 8, 10, and 11 speaks of the fresh water supplies being poisoned and many men dying from this water contamination. Then we read also of the sun's loss of power, and the earth will lose much of the power of that comes from the light and the heat that comes from the sun. And this is not indicated as to how long it will take place, but these are just some of the catastrophic events that will take place with regard to the environment and regard to the planet itself. So there will be life-ending judgments taking the life of men and women, 25% of the world's population. There will be environmental catastrophes upon this earth. And I'm telling you, folks, the World Health Organization is going to be very, very busy. And the World Bank is going to be very, very busy. And the Antichrist trying to calm and create peace. But the fact is that God's judgment will be very evident for 7 years. There is a third category that I want to mention as well. And that category is what we could call retaliatory judgments. The majority of these are mentioned in Revelation 16 as the vial judgments. These judgments are specific judgments. They are supernatural, specific judgments against the beast or the Antichrist and his kingdom. And they will be focused primarily in the second half of this tribulation period. And Satan fights against the saints that are working through the Antichrist, but the vials' contents are referred to as the wrath of God that is poured out on those who are fighting against his saints. And so interestingly, though many saints will be martyred and though many will be persecuted, God will also bring judgment upon those who are persecuting his children. Let's notice a few of them. First, the torment of the beast followers. Those who follow the Antichrist will be tormented. Now, I've read a lot of commentaries, and I'm trying not to be too sensationalized in a lot of these situations to elaborate beyond what the scriptures say. Some say that the beast, those who take the mark of the beast will have some type of an infection related perhaps to the plant of a chip within their skin, that there will be some type of disease from that. We don't know exactly how it will come into their body, but the Bible says the beast followers will be tormented. Revelation 9 and verse 3 says, "And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." And so during the 7 year period, there will be unbelievers with the mark of the beast. There will be believers known by God. And this particular retaliatory judgment is against those who have taken the mark of the beast. And these locusts from hell will torment them for some 5 months. So torments of the beast followers are mentioned. Secondly, sores will develop on those who take the mark of the beast. And Revelation 16:2 refers to it as a grievous sore. And then thirdly, the Mediterranean and fresh water supplies will be turned to literal blood. Revelation 16:3-6. And then again, we read a moment ago, torments by the sun. But these are specifically on those who have rejected Christ. Revelation 16:8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Can I just stop for a moment and comment on the depravity of mankind? How that even with judgment falling, men would not repent. How that even during this most terrible of time on planet Earth, hardened hearts become harder to the things of God. What a tragedy to think of that. At the end of these judgments, the world is deceived to the Battle of Armageddon. And next week we're going to see the culmination. We'll take a little more time on the Battle of Armageddon. The world will come against the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will be the final battle at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This judgment is a tragedy, but it is recorded in Scripture, and we see that it will involve these different categories. It will involve the loss of life, the devastation of nature, and retribution against those who persecute the saints of God. And so this is the progression of the tribulation. Notice on the screens or in your notes, the removal of the saints, the rise to power of the Antichrist, the revelation of the witnesses, the 144,000 and the two witnesses, and then the retribution of God's judgment coming down through the bowl judgments, through the seal judgment, as the Scriptures have recorded. Now let's notice as we close this morning, the purpose of the tribulation. The purpose. We learned a little bit in the first point, but notice first of all the purpose as it relates to Israel. The purpose as it relates to Israel. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men." Now amazingly, having said that in the Scriptures, God still calls out to the children of Israel, and he still wants them to be saved, and he still wants to restore Israel unto himself. And so he will release the hold of the Gentiles over her during this time, and he will call them unto himself. Jeremiah 39 says, "But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up to them." Again, God's purpose through all of this is to bring them back to him, and many Jews in the end times. We believe with all our hearts that the tribulation judgments of God serve a dual purpose: to punish hardened sinners and to move others to repentance and faith. The tribulation will be God's ultimate illustration of the truth found in Romans 11:22. Now, as we consider the purpose of God, two things. First, retribution to the nations. Retribution. Psalm 2. I want you to turn in your Bible there to Psalm 2. It may be in your notes as well, but I want you to see this chapter as we think of God bringing retribution to the unbelieving nations who chose the Antichrist over the Christ, who have been following after the mother of harlots, as we learn in Revelation 17. And here we see retribution to the nations. These are the nations that are going to rage and come against the Lord, and they will be dealt with at the Battle of Armageddon. And notice in Psalm 2 and verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his saying, against his anointed saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore pleasure." Verse 9 says, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." And so there will be retribution to the nations during the time of tribulation. But the second side of this is the mercy of God. How many of you believe that our God is a God of divine balance? He is a God of judgment upon the hardened heart. He is a God of mercy to those with a softened heart or repentant heart. Revelation 9:20 says, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft." So here we see an increase of wickedness by the unsaved. But in Revelation 14:3, we read that there will be a multitude of people who will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so while this period of time is primarily a time of wrath and judgment, it also features a time of great grace for those who will repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the purpose of the tribulation, again, as it relates to Israel, is to turn Israel's heart to God and to the true Messiah. As it relates to the nations, to bring retribution for their rejection and to bring an offering of grace for those who will receive and believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's conclude in Matthew 24 with the words of Jesus once again as we were reading a moment ago, and verse 27. It says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And in verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, all of these judgments during the tribulation are leading up to the battle of Armageddon, the coming of our Savior. And today's message really prepares us for that message next week on the second coming. But let me just pause before we consider the second coming. And let me remind you of this simple fact, that God does not intend his children to go through this time of tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he has saved us from the wrath to come. Some of you recall the best-selling series a few years ago by Tim LaHaye entitled The Left Behind Series. And some of you may have read those books. And there was a lot of interesting fiction, but based on Bible truth in those books. But the title alone is thought-provoking, Left Behind. And I just want to simply say this morning, my friends, no one, after even hearing about a quarter of the earth's population, after hearing about the unsaved taking a mark, after hearing about the great time of judgment on this planet, no one would want to live during such a time on planet earth. And that's why we urge you today to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't put this decision off. Don't risk it, my friend. Don't be left behind. Because yes, Jesus Christ is coming at the second coming, but you and I must decide now to trust in him as our Savior, that we might have that reservation settled for heaven. When I was finishing this message a few days ago, I had set my computer on my desk, and I set it there, and I thought I had it plugged in at the back on my desk at home, and so got caught up in doing a few other things and a little bit distracted. And I came back in after a little while, and the computer screen was dark, and the computer was asleep, and not only asleep, it was off, colder than you could imagine, and I kept pressing the button to turn the power on, but it wouldn't turn on. And then I realized what had happened. I hadn't plugged it in on the back like I thought. Well, I plugged it in, and it kind of started sputtering and spitting and kind of warming up, you know, and then it came to the place where I could put in my password, and then it came back on, and I looked and looked, and I couldn't find the sermon. I couldn't find the sermon. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of trying to find it, something popped up on the screen. And it popped up on the screen, and it said on it, it said, auto-save. Auto-save. I thought, auto-save. Wonder what that is. And I pressed auto-save, and up came the sermon. And the computer had automatically saved the sermon. And the preacher said, amen. You know, I was automatically saved and on their way to heaven because they're an American or in a Christian family. Every one of us need to make a choice today. And the choice is for the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. And I urge you, my friend, today, as 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 speaks, that you would make a reservation, that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and not be left behind for the tribulation, but look for that glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. On today's edition of Daily in the Word, he's been teaching through a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're studying present-day events, but holding those events up under the lens of Bible prophecy. We're understanding God's sovereignty and God's promises anew and afresh. I'm so excited to tell you that Dr. Chappell has a brand new book that's just come off the press that's based on this series, and it contains so much more information than was able to be contained in the teaching and preaching series. The book is entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. If you are a Christian, this book will help you understand what's happening in the world around us and how the Bible sheds light and gives you promise and confidence to live courageously. If you know someone that's not a Christian, this book will help them understand the gospel in the light of present-day events and in the light of prophecy. It's a powerful tool for witnessing to others and sharing Christ. It's a powerful tool for growing in God's grace and developing the courage and strength to press forward no matter what you see in today's news headlines. I want to encourage you to give us a call or write to us and let us send you a copy of Understanding the Times. The easiest way to receive your copy of Understanding the Times is visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Your purchase of a copy of Understanding the Times is not only an investment into your own life or to the life of a friend spiritually, it's also an investment into Daily in the Word. Your gift to our ministry helps us continue broadcasting on this station and continue purchasing airtime on hundreds of stations across the country. So be sure to give us. Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. You can find out more about this broadcast ministry. You can listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcast, or you can request your copy of Understanding the Times when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Thanks again for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.